Possessing Professors podcast. I'm your host, Rahil, today, and if you're new here, I'm a nuclear specialist. And this is my podcast, Processing Professors. So today, for today's guest, we are joined by a very close professor of mine. I present to you a phenomenal professor. He has a PhD in disaster management and has published a lot of pieces. Kevin Fumiaki.
Yep, that's me. Okay, I am very honored to be here.
So, that sounds great. So a couple of days ago, I heard that you published a study on acid rain, right?
Yeah, I did. It took me a lot of research and time to write the whole thing and publish. But yeah. I think, yeah, it should be informative to people.
Yeah. So, could you just tell us about it and what acid rain basically is and why you chose to publish the thing?
So, acid rain is a part of a bigger thing called acid decomposition. And so acid decomposition is a like rain, snow or fog or hail or even dust that blows in the air.
So it's not only rain.
Yeah, it's not only rain. As I said, like acid rain is only a part of it. So any kind of weather that turns acidic, which is like sulfuric or nitric acid, it's a part of the acid decomposition.
That's very cool. So after acid rain, like right now, I think we're dealing with a lot of issues, but acid rain is not one. So do you think like we continue to use these cars and technology as we progress further and we keep using these harmful materials, is the chances of acid rain gonna increase?
So there are many causes for acid rain. And one of them are volcanoes, or because volcano ash, when it goes into the air.
So it's not purely controlled by us.
So it's not purely controlled by us. But acid rain or acid decomposition is mainly caused by the release of sulfur dioxide and nitrogen dioxide during fossil fuel combustion. And as humans, of their energy from burning fossil fuel, it greatly affects the acid decomposition frequency.
So do you think it's this a bit more about like the future affection, because we in this podcast we already talk about like the future bot spec, like what's gonna happen, like so do you think it's gonna increase greatly if we keep like getting fossil fuels and all that, or do you think the chances are gonna get lower, or like
I see. So, because as I said, fossil fuels are causing the acid decomposition, and it's greatly used by us. So, it's definitely going to affect the frequency of acid decomposition. It's going to increase the amount of acid rain or acid decomposition.
Talking about, you have said acid decomposition a lot of times. So yeah. I'm pretty sure our viewers over here, they probably want to know what acid decomposition in like what it is like specifically. So could you just like explain what acid decomposition is and what it actually is?
So when fossil fuel, the waste of a fossil fuel, that is sulfur dioxide and nitrogen oxide, and from volcanoes, when these gases, they rise into the air, they react with the water, oxygen, and gas that is present in the atmosphere, and they form sulfuric acid or ammonium nitrate or like nitric acid to form these acidic compounds, right? So, and then they turn into like rain, snow, fog from the atmosphere. These acidic compositions are affected by wind patterns and everything, just like a water cycle, and they fall back to the ground as a form of acid, like acid rain or any acid precipitation. So that is acid decomposition. And answering your question of future effects, right? So acid decomposition, as you know, is acidic, and it can affect the environment. It mostly affects the environment, and it can affect the environment in many ways, such as when the rain falls into the river, it makes the river more acidic. It changes the pH of the water, which also affects the fish or aquatic animals inside the water, which causes a lot of death and the population decrease in these animals. And not only in water, it also affects the environment of the forest or a kind of a vegetation area.
Interesting. So it basically affects animals and plants and basically all that.
Yeah.
But can I ask you how? I know that it would affect, but how?
Acid decomposition, it affects the environment mostly. Giving an example, a river or a lake that has a lot of fishes or aquatic animals or plants in there. And once the water gets in contact with the acid decomposition or acid rain, the pH of the water goes down, because the lower the pH, the more acidic it is, and the plants and the
break. And our sponsor for this podcast is SSIS. SIS has been teaching and providing education for more than well over 20 years now. They have superb education and they have awesome projects for the IGCSE and IB diploma. This is sponsored by SSIS. And now back to the podcast.
Plants and the fishes or the water aquatic animals, they are adapted to a certain pH. And once it changes, it will harm them. That is why acid decomposition is more harmful to the environment. And this concludes my studies and acid rain or acid decomposition.
Well, that's great. So we're nearing to the end, and I guess we have 3 or 4 minutes still left. Do you want to ask anything? Anything you want?
Well, you are a nuclear... Sorry?
I'm a nuclear specialist, yeah.
Ah, yes, a nuclear specialist. And I have a few questions on that for
you.
Sure. So, please explain, what is a nuclear fallout?
What is nuclear fallout? So, what happens is that when someone throws a bomb or deploys a nuke at some place, then the bomb is going to explode and make that mushroom figure, right?
By
that mushroom figure, what happens? It's basically expelling all those radioactive materials in the ground, also up in the air. So these particles are very small, and they're radioactive. I'm gonna tell later what things are which more reactive or
yes.
which are not. So what basically happens is that those particles, they are blown out millions and millions of miles. It could be
millions?
Yeah, it could be millions and millions, because
wow.
There are winds and the winds
oh,
are
like
so
the
it's
wind
not
carries
like
the particles
yeah so it's
around.
Not like instantly it goes there and the wind is carrying all that part.
So
that's why.
The nuclear fallout, it doesn't stay in one radius. It also affects places very far.
So if you hit the US right in the middle, it's going, based on the winds now, it's going to spread on the whole USA. And it's going to make it inhabitable because it's radioactive, and I'm going to tell you more about what will happen to the body and what that happens. So it also depends on the altitude of the mushroom and the mushroom figure of the thing.
Yes.
It also the type of bomb. So how do you measure radiation in this sense is that there's something called REMS. So this is the way of measuring how effective it will be to the body and all that stuff. So that's basically it. So I'll explain that right now. The radiation affects humans in many ways. So basically, I said REMS, right? So if it's below 100 REMS, then it will do nothing to your body. It will just your white blood cells will maybe increase, and that's basically it for 100 REMS. If it's to 100 to 200 REMS, some symptoms will occur. Your blood and your forming tissues of your sperms and all that will be affected. There'll be some nausea, vomiting, fatigue, and that can last to 4 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. If it's more than 400 rems, it's going to, like, in the 6 hours or 1 or 2 days, you're gonna get nausea, 50% vomiting. You're gonna have 7 to 14 days of, like, latency, and you're going to just, there's gonna be hair loss. It's gonna be just things happening all throughout your body. And by this, it may also mean that you cannot reproduce anymore. It's going to ruin your, like, organs inside, and the recovery for that, however, only takes about a month. So
within that month, it's really serious.
Yeah. But it will occur, like, we have the treatment and, like, some extent of treatment. And that's it. So then we have more, even like 600 to 1,000 rems.
Yeah.
So this basically, you're basically dead unless you have good, unless you have some good
medication
and treatment. Not medication, treatment.
Yeah.
So at this point, nothing happens to your body, actually. You get a lot of, like, vomiting and all that kind of stuff, but your bone marrow gets ruined. It's totally just dead. So what you need, actually, you need full transfusion of your bone marrow. So that basically means that your own bone marrow is ruined, and you would have to be, like, you have to get a donor to give you the marrow inside your body. Also, that is also very dangerous. Also, you may just not notice it, and you may just die internally, just internal bleeding.
Wow.
That could happen. This also may not happen. The recovery, however, is very, like, not, it's, we don't know how to recover it. So it may just take years, or you just die, or maybe it will never happen. It's based on the, like, all your things and all that. So this is the last one. It's above 1,000 rems. So above 1,000 rems, it will cause severe intestinal and metabolic systems. So there is diarrhea, internal bleeding, intestinal bleeding. You will lose, like, you would drink water and you would not be hydrated because the radiation takes all the fluid kind of thing out. And in a few hours of that exposure, your circulatory system is just gonna shut off. Like,
just shut off.
It's that serious, and we don't know actually why. It will just collapse, because we don't know, like, we still don't know, and we haven't, like, went to that much of the thing. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I'm gonna say, it's 5,000 rems. That's 5 times of what we just saw, and this basically in the 30 minutes or even 5 minutes, you're not gonna die. It's often called, like, what scientists call it, it's called a ghost phase.
Ghost phase.
Yeah. In this, what happens is that you will get prostates, and you'll get diarrhea and fever, a very high fever. And you may just die, or you can just go to a forever coma. And if you're above 5,000 rems, you're just going to die at this point. 48 minutes. You would be internally dying for 48 hours. You will be suffering.
Suffering.
Yeah, you will literally be suffering. You will, everything will just start failing, pain, and you may just, like, hang on for your dear life, as some would say.
That is very serious.
Yep. And that's about it. And like, the US military, they have actually, like, made a prediction. If you have, like, 8,000 rems or rads of neutron radiation, it may just, you can just, like just burst. Like, you can just die. Just, like, your body will just rip off and just you die. But however, this is, like, all just, yeah. Also, all whatever values I said, they're all exterior exposure. And if it's interior exposure, it's gonna be 70%, like, of the same value.
So that is the human effects, right?
Yeah.
So does it affect the environment?
Yeah, of course it affects the environment.
And how does it affect?
So basically, I'll talk about aquatic health first.
Yeah.
That the people believe that if, like, it would actually very drastically affect fish. If acid rain can affect fish easily,
yeah,
then of course radiation will. there have been some like experiments done with small amount of exposure thrown to fish. Yeah. So then basically we are basically scientists gave 11 rems, only 11 rems to the fishes, and there was many evidence of mutations and drastic life shortening. So the fish die in a matter of few like days or even hours, or like when they have their like they reproduce, their kids are weird. Like that sounds weird, but yeah, you know, it's true. Mutations basically.
So what are the different types of the radiation?
Oh, like you mean like what different type of elements can affect? Okay.
Yes.
So basically, there are many, and there's actually lots of things.
Few?
But okay, so what people actually know a lot, like everybody says uranium. There's actually very, very, very lot of types. So if you use uranium-233, it will last about 8,000 years.
And that lasting is how
it's lasting in the land. Like
it
will stay
upon the land.
Yeah, like if you heard about Chernobyl, it is still affected, and there's still signs of radiation.
Radiation decreases?
Yeah, the radiation will decrease in a while, but it will stay there. Some would say decomposition, but I don't want to use that word. So then there is uranium-235,
yes,
which stays for 704 million years.
704 million years.
And then now there is this most a very dangerous one that we know, uranium-238, 4.47 billion years. Yeah.
4.47 billion.
And there's an even more dangerous one that we predict.
Wait, 4.47, that is like... How old is the Earth?
The Earth is... I do not know.
I think it's about 4 point...
Well, yeah, it will last quite a long time. Well, but there's an even more dangerous one. Just wait for it. There is something called thorium-232. It lasts for 14 billion years.
14 billion.
Yep. 14 billion years.
That is like that is like about 3 times the uranium-238.
Yeah. And so then there is the smaller ones, which are like iodine, krypton, tritium, strontium, and cesium. Last like 8 days, 10.8 years, and those are quite small, but also that's about it. These are the most popular nucleolides. The nucleotides are called like these things, and they're basically that. And but if any country were to use this, it will literally kill that piece of land and make it inhabitable for like years. And also it will affect the air, the population, it will just affect everything. It's like corona. You would have to stay home, but with radiation suits. So that's about it. And
the Earth is 4.5 billion years old, which means that
if the Earth was created and a nuclear weapon was falling down, we still won't be living here.
Just thinking about it.
Yeah, just to throw that out there. Yep. So that's nuclear fallout, and I really hope in the future we don't get any of these, no one makes a nuclear warfare, or like the whole world's gone. Like someone would think that you would throw the nuclear bomb at one place and it will stay there. No, our technology is so far beyond ourselves that if we throw one nuclear bomb somewhere, it's gonna make that inhabitable and also affect the air. Like the Hiroshima one and all that. I won't say small, but it was drastic.
Yeah.
But right now we have even more drastic nuclear weapons.
I see.
And that's pretty like, it's pretty like, what is it called? Like it's very
serious,
and it worries me.
Yes.
To think that in the future this might happen to the world.
I see.
And that basically concludes our
podcast.
So that concludes for today's Processing Professors podcast. Today we had a hard-hitting two very important disasters with Professor Kevin. Do you have any concluding remarks?
Well, I just want to say that this is a great podcast. It's it informs people about the current events of scientifically, and it just lets people understand about science. And yeah, I think it's a great podcast, and I think everyone should listen to this often.
Well, there you go. You heard it. And that concludes us for today's podcast. See you later. And also, we were sponsored by SSIS.